Matthew chapter 6. We're in verses 25 through 34. A noteworthy hymn was written during a revival meeting at Muskogee, Oklahoma in 1934. The year was a time of hardship, severe economic depression, and uncertainty in America. People were anxious and they were worried. The author was B.B. McKinney, who wrote more than 500 songs. We just lifted this song up in praise just a moment ago. The hymn was Have Faith in God. The song is filled with assurance and hope and inspires faith and trust in the God who no matter what rules and he reigns upon his throne. I would make one change to that hymn, and it's in verse 2. Because it sounds like in verse 2 that God doesn't answer prayers. And the wording is reminiscent of a Garth Brooks song of unanswered prayers. But I think that it would be more appropriate that when your prayers seem unanswered rather than are unanswered. Because the Lord always answers prayers. It's just whether or not we're ready to accept that answer. This song, this hymn, also serves as a wonderful poetic commentary of our passage today in Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. And prior to this passage, Jesus has encouraged us to store up treasures in heaven and not here on earth. He's told us that money and the enticements of this world should not be our priority. In faith, focusing on heavenly treasures, being characterized by generosity, and refusing to allow materialism to compete with our devotion to God should free the disciples, all of Jesus' disciples, from many of our anxieties. It's failure to view riches and possessions from a proper perspective that promotes anxiety in our life. Anxiety and worry can be emotionally and psychologically paralyzing. They are spiritual thieves that rob us of joy and peace, sleep, and 1,000 other things. Our passage today is Jesus' spiritual prescription for this spiritual illness and disease. And actually, worry is really only a symptom. At its core, Jesus says, is a heart of little faith. Jesus lays out for us specific teaching that helps us to free ourselves from, or to be free from, paralyzing anxiety. An antidote, you might say, to worry. So we're going to read verses 25 through 34 of Matthew chapter 6 as we look at this antidote to worry. Starting in verse 25, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." As I see this phrase, "What shall we wear?" Man, first world problems. We look in our closet and go, "Man, I just don't know what I'm going to wear. I have so many options." We think about, what are we going to eat? I think, again, first world problems. We can look at the variety of options that we have available for us. We've got so many choices, I don't know. There's nothing to eat because we have so many options before us. But in this passage, Jesus is telling us that we shouldn't worry about the needs that God promises to provide. He's got it, right? And Jesus tells us that worry won't even add an hour to our life. If anything, it'll take an hour from us. He says that worry can show a lack of faith in God. When he tells us to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, he means for us to turn first to God for help. It should be our first thing that we do, is turn to our Creator. Jesus wanted us to know that the same God who created us can be trusted with the details of our life. God wants us to use our energy concentrating on him rather than worrying. Worry has become common in the lives of Christians these days. But for us to live the abundant life that God desires for us, the abundant life that Jesus promises, we need to find joy. It's important for us to learn to prevent worry from controlling our lives. What is worry? It's a feeling of uneasiness about a certain, an uncertain or a threatening future event or even a past event. Some feelings of worry are normal. Worry becomes a problem when it interferes with your normal functioning, like your ability to sleep, to eat properly, to take care of and grooming yourself, and having a normal social life and being interested in the events and activities that are around us. If prolonged, worry can lead to psychological issues, physical ailments, and loss of spirituality. We live in a pretty complex world today. There are a lot of social problems that cause us stress and worry, like economic problems, war, crime, lack of health insurance, or at least health insurance that you can afford. Thanks, Obama. And also chronic disease. Also, as we age, something that all of us do, we frequently encounter a lot of losses that cause us worry. Losses of loved ones, loss of health, giving up of belongings, giving up of dependence, or independence rather, and giving up of life as we have lived it when we were younger. So we have to be deliberate about controlling worry in our life. I used to, back in the day when I was 18, I could drive across the state of Missouri without stopping. It was awesome. I wouldn't need to stop to eat, wouldn't need to stop for a bathroom break. I could even have, I don't remember if I even still have these or not, the Big Slam Pepsis that Shaq was promoting in the 90s. I could get one of those when I left home in southeast Missouri, and I could drive all the way across the state chugging those things and never have to stop until I got to my destination. Now, it takes the same amount of time to drive across the southern point of Missouri as what it takes to drive across South Dakota. Now, granted, in South Dakota, you're doing 80 miles an hour, but it still takes the same 4 hours. It's a long time. I can't drive an hour now without having to stop at least once. Can't do those things I used to be able to do. For a very long time, there would be things that Rebecca and I would try and do, certain workouts, and we would look at each other after we finished and go, you know, we're not 18 anymore. We were doing youth ministry, doing these lock-ins, man, staying up all night. And I got to a point, I just couldn't do it anymore. And another one of those, look, we're not 18 anymore. We can't do this. We can't stay up all night anymore. It just doesn't work. Just doesn't work at all. Now, I'm not saying that we can eliminate worry, okay? But I think we can control it. It's normal to feel some worry or concern, and that can move us to action. Sometimes worry is good. It motivates action. But prolonged worry immobilizes us. It gets us stuck in a rut. Bravery isn't the absence of worry. It's actually having worry but continuing on with our lives despite it. Today we're going to talk about a four-step program Now, four things that we can do to reduce worry in our life if it's a problem. If you want to remember these steps, it's pretty easy. Just remember the word stop. And the first letter of each word in the process spells out stop. So the first one is to share your problems with another person. Share your problems with another person. Second, take time to relax. Third, open your heart to God's presence in your life. And P, fourth one, put limits on your worry. So let's break these down a little bit. First point is S, share your problems with someone else. There's something quite healing about getting your worries out, about talking to people, sharing your concerns with someone else. And that can happen through prayer with God. And you can just leave them at the cross. We had an illustration once where we had a wooden cross and had some nails in it. And the idea was you write down whatever's troubling you and you walk up and you slam it down on that nail. And the idea is you leave it at the cross. And someone, a good friend of ours, said, you know, the problem is that I'm all about doing that, but in the back of my head, I'm still thinking about it. It's still there in the back of my mind, and I'm wondering, why is God not taking care of this fast enough? And I want to go get it off the cross so that way I can take care of it. But when we try and take care of it, it just gets worse. Situations get worse when we try to handle it. The other way that we can share is to talk face to face with someone. We can write a letter. Or talk on the phone with a friend or a loved one. Worry loses its power over you when you express it to the right person. Or when you get it outside of you and examine it. Like, why am I really worried? What's really happening here? Because at that point, you stop thinking about it. Just let it go. Unpleasant feelings are just as normal as pleasant feelings. But you have to process them or they'll get bottled up and they'll drag you down. The healing that occurs with sharing your problems is demonstrated when people go to counselors and they heal from some sort of terrible trauma. Talking things out is good for our health. Have you ever found yourself thinking that as you've gotten older that you should be able to just get over difficult feelings? You know, like maybe you used to could. And you shouldn't have to talk to someone about them. I'm from the end of the Gen X generation. There's something about us Gen Xers. We learned the idea of pull yourself up by your own bootstraps from our boomer parents. And that stuck with us in a pretty significant way. We don't often want to talk to others about what's going on. We usually tend to be pretty private people. The truth is, we all need people in our life. No matter how old we get, no matter what generation we're part of, there's still that thing inside us that longs to be heard and understood. Sometimes that's all we need to get over worry is to share our problems with someone else. Man, Paul talks about this in his letters. As we are one body, we bear one another's burdens. It's the idea here, share with another person. The second point is T, take time to relax. Scientific research has shown that we can control our reactions to stress by relaxing. When you get upset, your heart races, your blood pressure goes up, and you get sweaty. This reaction is a survival technique that's built into us. It protects us from dangers, that fight or flight response. When these reactions are prolonged, they damage our body. So relaxing prevents that stress-induced reaction, and it calms us down. You can find some kind of music that you can listen to. I know for Marsh, it's Casting Crowns.
Skillet.
Skillet. Dude, that's like right down here. Yeah. I was getting ready to say that. Yeah. Man, you're on point. Yeah. I'm right there with you, man.
Okay.
Read scripture in a quiet room and pray and ponder. Think about the meaning of what the Lord is telling you in the Scriptures. Think back about a time in your life when you heard some kind of beautiful music. Maybe you went to a concert. Maybe you heard a church or a school choir. Or you drove in your car in the countryside, just relaxing to music. Maybe you can, parents, remember holding your child and singing to them. Or even remember back to when you were a child and your own parent holding you and singing to you and thinking about how you felt less anxiety, less worry, helped you feel more peaceful and a little more relaxed. I'm weird, okay? Relaxing to me is bouncing down a trail in the Jeep with either Skillet or Lecrae blasting through the speakers. But that's just me. Whatever your relax looks like, take time to relax. Third point is O. Stop your heart, or stop. That's the name of the sermon. Open your heart. Don't stop your heart. Open your heart to God's presence in your life. Your worry will be diminished if you remind yourself that your life is in God's hands. He's not going to ignore those who depend upon Him. Attend a worship service. Read your Bible. Pray. All these activities help us focus on God. We can also just simply be more conscious of His presence in our everyday life. It's that idea that Paul talks about when he says, pray without ceasing. We have this constant open communication with our Creator. If we open our eyes, we observe, we can see God's presence in the flowers and the trees and the blue sky. He's given us a great opportunity today to observe these things, see God's presence in creation. Jesus is told that, you know, your disciples need to shut up. They need to stop talking. And Jesus says, man, even if they do be quiet, if they stop talking, the rocks are going to cry out. God's creation speaks of His presence. You can see God's presence in the kindness of other people. You can observe it in the graciousness that others share. You can feel it in the love from family and friends. You can observe it in the bravery of those who are dealing with loss. Wherever there is beauty and fine character, you can bet that God is there helping shape it. And it is sometimes the most simple acts that represent the most profound witness to God's love. Fourth point is P, put limits on your worry. Don't let it rule your life. We can set limits on how much we're going to worry. I know it's possible because I've done it. You know, Theodore Roosevelt said that the only thing that we have to fear is fear itself. I used to hate going to work. Hated it with a passion. Something I didn't ever want to do. Because, and I'm talking about when I worked in the jail, because I never really received any proper training on how to handle any type of situation inside the jail. That was an intense situation. I would drive to work some nights wondering what that shift might hold and what the implications of that shift might have on my family. By the time I got to the sheriff's office, I would feel so sick that I just wanted to turn around and go home. And at least at that point, gas was cheap, so it wouldn't have been that big of a deal. Then I read this section of Matthew. I don't really think I ever got to the point where I just didn't worry about what might happen on the shift, but I know that I got to a point where I could just spend a few moments in the parking lot at the sheriff's office, handing the night over to the Lord. Really, I think that I was handing over my family to the Lord, trusting in Him that whatever happened to me on shift, He's got them. He'll take care of them. That really seemed to help me not feel so sick whenever I walked into the building. I felt a lot more prepared to start that shift. We can put limits on our worry. A few authors have written, worry is like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. It simply fills time that you could otherwise be accomplishing your goals. Anticipatory anxiety can be destructive. If you limit your time for worrying, then the allotted worry time comes, you will be able to deal with the problem more efficiently. Because you've had a successful day, and you may find that the worry has shrunk in size and is no longer a major concern. I don't know, maybe this is easier said than done in a lot of situations. But I think about a very important question that I was asked once when facing a daunting task. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Right? In the movie, What About Bob? Bob's psychiatrist gives him a copy of the book he'd written called Baby Steps. The doc explains that baby steps means to set small, reasonable goals and take one tiny step at a time. I as part of my duties with the Dakota Baptist Convention is I get to meet with Dr. Fred about once a month, whether it's in a group setting with the other CRMs or just he and I on a Zoom call. I was in Rapid City in March for a training for church security. And since I was there and I was supposed to have a Zoom meeting with him in a couple days, I said, hey, I'm going to be in town. Can we just meet? So while I'm there, we sit down and we chat, and he's asking, you know, how are things going? I feel exhausted. And part of my issue is I go into the office. I want to be there at 8 o'clock, but sometimes it's 9:30 or 10 before I get there, which has already set me back in my mind to where I need to be in the process of my day. So I sit down and I start working on a task, and I think this task should only take me an hour. And then I'll move on to the next task. It should take me 30 minutes, and the next task is going to take me another hour. But I'm already an hour and a half late, so in my head I'm going, oh man, I'm already late. I'm already behind schedule. This is not working out very well for me today. And I start this hour-long task, and then that task takes me an hour and a half. Oh man, I've already encroached on my next half an hour. What do I do now? Oh man, now I'm stressed out trying to think about how am I going to move to this next thing. Do I still have time at the end of the day to get everything done that I had planned to get done? He asked me a pretty important question. He said, have you ever heard of white space? I'm like, white space? What do you mean? I think of white noise. You know? I don't know. Maybe white noise doesn't exist quite so much anymore, but I always think of white noise of, you know, at 10:30 after the news was done back in the 80s and early 90s when before satellite TV existed and CNN was on 24 hours, but after the news was over at 10:30, the signal cut off. And you had static, right? You guys remember that, right? Okay, cool. I'm not the only one. I'm old enough to, so I'm in good company. So I think of white noise, but what's white space? And he goes, well, if I'd let my wife decorate my office, every inch of the walls would be covered with photographs or artwork or something. Something would be on every inch of my wall. But white space is the gaps between things. So like on the back wall, we've got this tapestry, we've got a white space, we've got a clock, we've got a white space, we've got a door. Okay, or here behind me, we've got white space between the banners and the screen. There's even white space in the blue on the screen, the gaps in between things. He's like, you got to create white space in your schedule. He says, I schedule my white space. And it can be 15 minutes. It can be 30 minutes. Set it, whatever it is. Mark that on your calendar as white space. I'm like, that's kind of cool. I like that idea. He says, then if you go a little bit longer on a project, the only thing you've encroached on is your white space. You haven't encroached on another topic. And I'm going, no, that's kind of cool. I like this idea. So then he recommended a book to me called Margins. It's written by a Christian author, and he talks about some of the same concepts. I'm about halfway through this book, and that's one of those things that's like, man, I already feel stressed out with this, and this happening in my schedule. Now you want me to read a book. But it worked out pretty well. I'm using that white space as relaxation time to read, to chill, to breathe for a moment. But I think it's one of those ways that we can put a limit to our worry, is create opportunities for relaxation. So remember, stop your worry. Share your problems with another person. Take time to relax. Open your heart to God's presence in your life and put limits on your worry. God loves us. He wants us to trust in Him. Right? He doesn't want us to worry. He tells us so. What is it, 365 times in Scripture, don't worry? Pretty important, right? Don't worry about it. If we're worrying too much, it's important to make the decision to reduce worry and anxiety in our life as much as possible. When we start doing this, we'll become more joyful and life will be more worthwhile. God wants us to make the most of each day and fulfill our potential. On Wednesdays, we started this study of praying the Psalms. Have you ever done that? Have you ever opened your Bible to a Psalm and let that be your prayer? Yeah, it's pretty powerful, pretty impactful. Jesus did it. And we can do it too, right? So, thinking about like Psalm 23, when you find yourself worrying and feeling anxiety, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I think that's pretty powerful. I think it applies in a variety of circumstances and situations. And we can pray this psalm, and there's others that are equally as powerful for dealing with anxiety and fear and worry. And that power to overcome these things comes through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit when we surrender our lives to Jesus. If you haven't given your life over to Jesus yet, man, what are you waiting for? There's such power that comes through the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, living within us, guiding our path, leading us to these points like Psalm 23, to realize who God is and what God's capable of in our life, of eliminating the things that worry us. Because He promises to provide. Jesus tells us in this passage that we went through today, what are you worried about eating for? The birds don't work. They eat. God's going to provide. The flowers, they don't sow, but they are more beautiful than anything that Solomon ever wore. If you haven't given your life over to Jesus, let today be the day that you do that. Receive that power today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your provision. We thank You that You clothe us. We thank You that You feed us. We thank You that You sustain us. We thank You that You save us. Lord, let Your word enrich us. Let us marinate, meditate on your words. Help us to realize your power in our lives, your provision in our lives, and recognize and come under the promises that you have given. You are our shepherd. And it's under you that we don't have a need. As you provide for them all. Lord, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.